And then another thing that I got very intrigued with over time, more and more, is the degree to which people tend to identify themselves with them, with their trauma. Like soldiers have these Semper Fi stickers in the car. I'm sure that if I'd been a Marine, I would have a Semper Fi sticker on my car also, because it is sort of a quite a special organization. But most of us don't have stickers of our college days in our cars because our life has moved on and our identity changes. When Lorraine and I were talking, we were talking about how a long time ago we were certain people, but now, as the decades go on, we keep evolving. And one of the striking things about many traumatized people is it's very hard for them to go on. They get stuck back then. And so soldiers continue to define themselves as, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm a veteran of Patton's army. I'm an incest survivor. I'm something. And they identify themselves through the lens of their trauma. And I get very interested in how do we help people to develop a new identity. And so one of my favorite treatments is theater. And theater is really one of the great ways in which you can get to play a new role and to really see what it's like. So one of my favorite programs is a program called Shakespeare in the Courts. If you're fortunate enough, like I do, to have a home in the Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts, and you happen to be a juvenile delinquent and you steal a car or break into somebody's home, you have a 50% chance that the judge will condemn you to become a Shakespearean actor. So I was talking about this program called Shakespeare in the Courts, and where juvenile delinquents and really antisocial kids get taught to become Shakespearean actors. And the first time that I go to a graduation ceremony, I'm very excited because I'm going to meet these juvenile delinquents who have become Shakespearean actors. I have never seen such bad actors in my life. These kids have never stood in front of anybody and said a whole sentence without fuck or shit or some obscenity in it. They have never said anything to anybody because they don't exist. When you're an abused and neglected child, there is no self that can speak for yourself. And now you're trained to play Lady Macbeth and to play a powerful queen who blackmails her spouse sexually, says, if you don't kill your boss, we'll never have sex again. And poor Macbeth says, that's sort of a tough dilemma to be in. And so he kills his king. And then he is very afraid to do that. And Lady Macbeth has to say, if he had not so resembled my father, I would have done the deed myself. And here you're a frightened little girl, and you have to rise yourself up and says, if he had not so resembled my father. And the director says, does your father know that you were condemned to be in this program? Will your father come and see you? Have you ever thought about killing your father? Does your father care who you are? What's your relationship with your father like? If he had not so resembled my father. So the kids get to embody their role and to really feel the meaning of these words very deeply. And you know, it came to a head at one point when a girl who's sexually abused is supposed to play Ophelia. And the director says, now, at some point you throw yourself into this brook and you go to drown yourself and you go to die, and then Hamlet's going to come by. He's going to lift you up and carry you off stage. And she says, oh no, I'm a sexual abuse survivor. No guy can touch me and carry me away. And the director says, actually, you're Ophelia and you're dead. Okay, if I'm Ophelia, I'm dead, then it's okay for somebody to carry me out. Huh? So you change that identity, and then suddenly you can do it. Like, just like the military does it. You're this real messed up kid, and after 12 weeks of basic training, you are a U.S. Marine, and you have a new identity. So I think a very large part of helping people with traumatized is to help them to assume new identities. And as part of that, I really got to explore the theater. And my teacher there is Tina Packer, famous Shakespearean actress. And she says, you know, there's a very big difference between actors and psychotherapists. If an actor does something and you mess up, your audience just leaves and your play comes to an end. If you're a psychotherapist or you're a teacher, you get paid anyway. People keep coming back, whether you're good or not any good. So theaters really, so actors really have to portray what things are like. And so I like to take scenes from movies to really show what it's like. So this is a movie that I used to illustrate what trauma does to people. It's an English movie about a soldier who has fought in the war in Kosovo. Most Americans don't know much about Kosovo because all we did there was to bomb places there from the air with precision bombing. I was there at the time. I saw some of the precision bombing. I got to be a great fan of precision bombing because you just could take out the police station or the Communist Party headquarters and not cause a lot of peripheral damage, which was good. So this soldier comes back from the war. He's in London, and he goes shopping with his grandma. There it is. It's called Warriors. Warriors. A very short clip. Yeah, I cannot give a talk while I step aside. You may want to move. Yeah, but I need to be here to move. Yeah. Maybe you can sit over there. Yeah. Right. It's always easier to make change yourself than to change somebody else. See, now you can see perfectly. If you can't see it. Ain't that the truth, huh? Okay. Back to the movie.
You find the ingredients
to the cake. You could just buy one.
And there goes Grandma. Grandma knows exactly what she wants. She's going to bake a cake. She knows where the flour is, where the sugar is, the raisins are. She goes to aisle 7, third thing up. And she has what Ivan Pavlov used to call the instinct of purpose, which is the hallmark of what a healthy person has. You know exactly where you what you want and what you want to do. And this is the first thing that struck me about when people get traumatized, is that is the thing that gets breaks down. That instinct of purpose. So here's this guy who used to be a very good soldier, very good, and he's slouching through the supermarket. He's not really going anywhere. So he reluctantly does something that people tell him to do, but there is no enthusiasm. We actually know a lot about what happens in the brain these days that actually kills that enthusiasm, and we know very little about how to repair that, actually. That's a great challenge. And that reminds me, because I'm sort of a fan of reading stuff by old dead white guys, and one of my old dead white guys who I read a lot by is Ivan Pavlov. And Pavlov is a scientist who like that I like. And so in 1924, there's a flood of Pavlov's laboratory in St. Petersburg on the Neva River. And so in March 1924, this icy water invades his laboratory, and the dogs stand up to their chest in ice water, and they can't get out. And then 2 days later, the water goes down, and Pavlov gets his dogs out, and they're all messed up. And being a real scientist, he says, what happened to my dogs that they got so messed up? Instead of saying, okay, let's get some new dogs, because these are useless dogs. And so he learns from his dogs. And what he says is, something happened to my dogs, and what I think happened to them is they stood in icy water. And as they stood in icy water, their brains were made to get the hell out of there. But because the first thing you do when you're being threatened is to move. And because they couldn't move, because they were immobilized, because they were in cages, that fight-flight response, which you need in order to protect yourself, got rewired and got into a panic system in your brain. So instead of doing stuff anymore, they now are paralyzed and they get upset, but they don't know how to act anymore and don't know how to move anymore. And Pavlov was absolutely right about it, and that's probably what you see in your somatic practices, that people have a very hard time moving and making things happen with their bodies. And then Pavlov elaborates on that. He says, you know, this movement is really the instinct of purpose, and the instinct of purpose is the most important instinct in the animal kingdom. It starts off in earthworms, which means a bird or to the ground, and it ends up on the highways around Philadelphia on Friday afternoon when you have to get yourself to some sort of lecture or another. Get out of the way. I'm in a hurry. So something breaks down in that sense of purpose. And so the question is, how do we reinstate that in some ways? And then next thing happens is also interesting. So how many people in this room have ever seen people having a fight in a supermarket? So how many of you, when you see that, would go over there and intervene? Wow, nobody. I didn't know that. I didn't expect it from Quakers. Let's see. When I show this movie to social workers, most social workers say, I'll go over there. Because social workers have this pathological need to make the world a better place. And whenever they see people in trouble, they go over there and say, can I help you? And you say, no, you cannot help me. It's hopeless. Let me help you anyway. This is actually the first time I ever showed this movie. The second time I ever showed this movie where nobody raises their hands. The last time was also in Philadelphia when I showed this picture at a law school at UPenn. And none of the lawyers raised their hands. Like, I won't go help anybody until I get my little deposits. So that's interesting because that tells us something about our default state network of our brain. What is our reward system of our brain? Social workers' reward system is, I love to help people even if they don't like my help. Lawyers, all that money that they get. So different people have different reward systems. One of the things that is profoundly changed by trauma, your reward system changes. And the things that are important to you are very different from the things that are important for other people. Your whole filtering system of your brain changes. And things where other people go like, no big deal, that's just fine, for you become a very big deal. And for other people who say, did you see this? That new bud of the tree just came out last week, and the flowers are coming out. Isn't it just astounding? Did you see this butterfly? A traumatized person goes like, no, I don't feel anything. So the things that give you ordinarily pleasure disappear. So very big challenge. How do you open people's hearts up to start feeling pleasure again? And here, this is really very, has been a very painful journey in a way, because the more we get to know, the more we see how profoundly the brain has changed to really interfere with people being able to pay attention to small details, get pleasure out of small details. And indeed, I'm really sorry I can't listen to what you guys have to say, because opening it up is very much via a system in your brain body called the insula. The insula is the part of your brain that lets you notice what's going on in your body. It's part of the salience network of the brain. And when you're traumatized, you shut that whole connection with your body down, and most things don't mean very much to you. And it's not until you open it that relationship to your body, where you once again just feel what's happening inside of yourself, you can open up that sense of wonder inside of yourself. It's not through the mind primarily. It's really by opening yourself up to your body sensations. I'll go into more detail in that tomorrow, possibly. So this guy, for some reason, has a need to go there. That's what it's like to be a traumatized person. You do things, you don't own yourself anymore. You do things and that embarrass you and scare other people and make other people upset, make you feel ashamed about yourself. And that is what traumatized people suffer from. It's only when people like me get involved to say, oh, when did this start? Or what is this in reference to? That people start associating the embarrassing things that they feel and do with something that happened a long time ago. Because it plays itself out in the present. So what happened when I started to work with veterans, the chief complaint was, I have become a monster. Nobody talked about Vietnam. They said, I've become a monster. Nobody is safe with me. I have kids, and my kids make a little noise, and I go berserk, and I blow up at them. And my wife or my girlfriend moves out in bed in the middle of the night, and I start strangling her. And then I realize what's happening, and say, oh, my God, I thought that she was an enemy soldier trying to kill me. But the issue was not the past. The issue was the present, that they react as if something terrible is happening to right now. So all trauma plays itself out in the present. So people tend to talk about trauma, oh, it's a story of something that happened a long time ago, and if you just tell the story about what happened, everything is going to be okay. But that's not at all the way it is. Knowing where it comes from is helpful because it gives you some sense of perspective on yourself, but understanding why you're screwed up doesn't make you not screwed up. Now you know why you're screwed up. Now you know why you react this way. And that's really the big thing with therapy, is that verbal psychotherapy gives you a sense of, oh, now I know where it comes from, but that doesn't necessarily make it go away. And so if a guy like this would go to the VA right now, particularly in Philadelphia, he would get prolonged exposure treatment where he relives the Battle of Fallujah over and over again. So complete misunderstanding about what trauma is all about. It's not about what happened in Fallujah. He probably did a great job in Fallujah doing all the killing that he was supposed to do. But he cannot walk through a supermarket. His problem is that he cannot be alive right now. And the question is, how can all of us be alive right now and fully enjoy wherever we are? And that's really the job of overcoming trauma, is to let yourself know it's over. And that is a complex thing.